Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. T.O. Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Soriao's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. T.O. Soriao.
That's how I do it, but I'm not
surgery. Right.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. Before the break, Dr. Mayer was talking about a new procedure that he did with ultrasound. Maybe not a new procedure, but a different variation.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of give you guys a little bit of background about ultrasound. So we've had ultrasounds now for
almost a decade.
In a decade.
Way more than
Ballard
a decade. No, because they were doing babies. We were doing ultrasound to look at flow of the calf and the blood flow and make sure you didn't have a blood clot. Also, we were doing ultrasounds to estimate gestational age and how the baby's developing, et cetera, et cetera. So ultrasound's been around for 50 years probably, and it has gotten to the point where it is much, much more refined, and now we have office ultrasound that we use for musculoskeletal issues. And for musculoskeletal issues, we can see tendinosis, we can see a rotator cuff tear. You know, we can't really go too deep into the knee. For example, I can't see an ACL or anything like that.
Right.
But ultrasound is a very, very useful tool because, number one, it's painless. Number two, it's relatively inexpensive. And number three, it is readily available. Certainly at Texas Sports Medicine it is. Well, Mayer and Ballard, the two guys sitting next to me, are really good at this ultrasound stuff. And they can see stuff that is really quite minute, but it's very, very helpful because, number one, you can use it as guidance, and number two, you can diagnose and perhaps even avoid an MRI.
Yeah, yeah.
So that said...
So, Mayor, I want to hear about what you did here in a second, but one of the things I try to convey to my patients is the differences between the diagnostic, you know, tools that we have, and that nothing is perfect, right? Because a lot of people will come in and be like, well, can we just get an MRI? And I'm like, well, an MRI might not be what's needed to be able to see what you have. So I try to explain to them, like, x-rays do well at seeing bone, right? And x-rays do better at seeing bone oftentimes than MRI.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's like, okay, you want an MRI, but that might not necessarily be what we need. And then CT is really good at seeing bone and like certain fractures and the surface of the joint, but is not as good at soft tissue. But
perfect.
MRI yep. is great at soft tissue. What I like about ultrasound is ultrasound is dynamic. Mm-hmm. So now I can watch the tendon move. I can watch you move relative, which, by the way, MRI is not dynamic. It's a mm-hmm. static picture. So I can't see that ulna collateral ligament stretch whenever I move the elbow.
Stretch the elbow, yeah.
I can't see that little tear now. And as I'm injecting, I can see, oh, not only do you have some tendinosis in the elbow, you got a little tear. So each of these diagnostic things that we use have their strengths and weaknesses. So oftentimes we use them in combination. And so MRI is not just a tell-all be-all. It's good for soft tissue, but may not be as good for something else. So
and this is a perfect segue because the patient I'm talking about came in with shoulder pain and was like, oh, shouldn't we just get an x-ray or an MRI? I said, well, x-rays are extremely valuable because sometimes that's all you need. And sure enough, in the case of this patient, they had calcific tendinitis, mm-hmm. which is calcification in the rotator cuff, a very common condition that an MRI sometimes does not pick up well. I have multiple patients where the radiologist will miss this because it's a very subtle finding, but on x-ray, it's a very obvious finding. Mm-hmm. With that condition, it hurts like crazy, but it's mm-hmm. a small area of calcification that you form in the tendon in the rotator cuff. Well, under ultrasound guidance, the treatment for these is really to debride them or decompress them. And that can be done in clinic under ultrasound guidance instead of in an operating room under anesthesia and having a shoulder surgery done. So mm-hmm. this gentleman came in. It's actually the second one I've done in the last month. You ultrasound the shoulder, and I know on x-ray where it is, and it's typically in one or two of the most common tendons in the rotator cuff. I can just put a local kind of call it a little local field block and numb that area of the shoulder. And then under ultrasound, I can find that area mm-hmm. of calcification under the ultrasound, which may only be 3 to 5 millimeters wide, maybe yep. 7 to 8 millimeters front to back. They're not big. And so you're talking of a little, very tiny area. But under the ultrasound, it's like having a flashlight looking into your body. Then I can bring in the needle and decompress it and break up that calcification. And sometimes it also tells me, is it bone or is it still soft? And then you can deploy a steroid shot over the top of it. And that literally can cure the patient. No surgery involved. No nothing. 10, 15 minutes done in clinic and a happy patient. And I have multiple pre and post x-ray findings of doing this where it's vanished. And that's an operation that never occurred. And that's something in our world of medicine you cannot quantify for.
That's right.
You cannot quantify for the way the health insurance works. I just saved an operation for a patient.
What's the value in that? We can go down that rabbit. We're not going to go down that, but
crazy.
I mean, that's just the reality.
Which is crazy.
There's significant value in that.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, and it always boggles my mind. Sometimes the best advice that I can give a patient is this can be treated without surgery. And that is so valuable. It's been the meat of my practice from day one. I developed... And this happened when I was a resident at Parkland, and it actually happened when I was a resident rotating at the VA. I developed a very healthy respect for surgery because no matter how minimal the surgical risk is, it's never zero. And I tell my patients, I tell my family, I tell my cousins, I say, look, the chance of infection is maybe 1 out of 1,000, but it ain't zero. And you have to weigh that against what the benefits may possibly be. And so I have a healthy respect for surgery. And, you know, we just recently did, looked up our numbers at Texas Sports Medicine. You know, our surgery rate's 14.8%. For a sports medicine practice, that is ridiculously conservative. And I'm proud of that.
Oh, man.
Extremely proud of that. If we can avoid it, why not?
Which means that avoiding it means that you're going to have more tools in your toolbox.
Exactly.
And, you know, between Dr. Mayer over here almost diagnosing DVTs in the clinic, you know, I mean,
I was thinking,
mercy.
Geez. I didn't know where you were going with that. But, dude, if you can do a Doppler in the clinic.
I'm like, not only is he the encyclopedia. I mean, we know he's a phenomenal surgeon. But now he's going to start teaching ultrasound.
Let's go to
mercy.
AW.
I don't know about that, fellas.
Push the right
button. Hey.
Good morning. What's up?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. The reason I'm calling is my wife has a burst fracture in L5.
Wow.
It was a result of an attack, you know, which I really don't want to get into.
Let's not get into that.
Okay. But she's had, I won't be using the correct terminology, but reconstructive surgery where she now has rods. From L4 to S1, I think to try to keep the compression off of the L5.
Yeah. So let me ask you. Was there any neurologic involvement in that? I mean, burst fractures can sometimes have neurologic deficits.
My wife is shaking her head and she says yes.
Okay.
She might have to.
All right. So let me start off by saying sports medicine. This is not something we see in sports medicine, so our answer may be extremely limited. What's your question?
Well, no, if Scott was here, but this is a trauma. I mean, so definitely a trauma. I mean, this could happen. Yeah. We don't see him at, you know, a burst fracture.
How many sports burst fractures have you seen?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Okay,
but
just want to make sure that.
But when you get like a compression fracture or something like the Romo injury. Think about the vertebral fracture.
Right.
I mean, he was compressed.
Right.
He had a vertebral fracture. A burst fracture, by definition, hit all three columns.
Mm.
So.
The encyclopedia strikes again.
Okay.
So, AW, what's your question?
Strikes again.
AW, what's your question on behalf of your wife?
All right, I need to step away.
This is the question. She's in a lot of pain still. She has neurological damage, numbness in her feet as a result of the surgery. And, she has a pain management doctor. He was going to do a procedure, but she also suffers from a blood clotting disorder. And so it was decided not to proceed with that particular.
Listen, I'm gonna interrupt you. I'm not sure we're going to be able to help. So I apologize profusely, but this is way beyond a sports medicine show. Clotting factors, pain management, et cetera. Thank you. I am so sorry. Let's go to Mike. Mike, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. So I'm 62. You've operated on me several times. I had to have a bone scan because I've taken tons of steroids. And it came back saying I have osteoporosis, which I figured anyway that would be normal since the steroids and everything else. And the doctor came back and said, so get a hold of your orthopedic and let me start doing stem cell replacement. And I'm like, okay, wouldn't calcium be better by taking it?
Hold on. Let's back up.
Back
here.
Back up.
Yeah. And to our previous caller, we'll answer some general info.
No, we're not. Go ahead, Mike. So, you have.
Well, no. Just to summarize here, you were diagnosed with osteoporosis. You were told by another physician to call your orthopedist to consider stem cell treatment. Did I get that right?
That is 100% correct.
Okay. That is 100% incorrect.
I'm lost. Yeah, we're lost.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought she was nuts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. No, so not at all. So look, first of all, was that a primary care physician you were seeing?
It was an endocrinologist.
Wow.
Whoa.
What?
That's weird.
That's even weirder.
Yeah.
Is that even a word? I don't know.
We see osteoporosis. We don't necessarily treat it other than here, take some calcium, eat some cheese, but osteoporosis is a relatively common problem with common fixes, and stem cells is just not on the list of fixes.
Yeah, Soriel's comment was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but no, that is not a condition we necessarily, that's a medical problem.
Yeah.
That may present in an orthopedic fashion because it relates to bones, but is a medical issue treated medically by an internal medicine, a primary care physician, sometimes OBGYNs will treat them. And even that, if you have a true endocrine issue from a steroid, if you have I'll throw out a disease, Cushing's disease, and you're on chronic steroid use, look, an endocrinologist would be the one to also help manage that, which is, that's why we're all here shaking our heads like, whoa, what?
Wait, what?
Yeah, so I have Addison's disease.
Yeah.
Addison's disease. Exactly. So something that I was bringing up. So no. So stem cells, no. Save your money. Spend your money on a better primary care physician or endocrinologist.
I'm confused because everything about this says no.
Yeah.
And then I get the report back from the person who did the test and says postmenopause, and I'm like, I'm a guy. Don't y'all realize when you type this stuff up who you're dealing with?
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
I'm the same way we got sick of your. After surgery, I got motion sickness.
Yeah, you got motion sickness from the CPM. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, I'm the one that went to McDonald's and ordered my coffee.
Yes, I remember that.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, wow. That seems so strange.
All right, Inside Sports Medicine, quick little break. Coming back for the final segment. 855-787-1033. This is our 19th anniversary celebration. We're going to light the candles and blow them out here pretty soon. Coming right back.